The emergency cost to it's not that, Chairperson, we're trying to use some of the photos that we got from the suppliers at the time. The damage was mainly in infrastructure, some of the units burned down, and then also most of the electricity cables were on top of the ground. It was not picked in, so the fire then basically destroyed and or at least damaged most of the electricity network. Chairperson, then we did hopefully that would make it a bit easier for you, and you asked per financial category, the expenditure per year under each of the categories. Of course, we could not include all of them, Chair, so we identified the main cost drivers, and I'll take you through very briefly through that. Chair, I don't want to take your time unnecessarily. In 2014, you'll see we only spent 300,000 rand on cost of employment because one of the delays in the project was the required OD process. We had to do job evaluations and determine a post that it was advertised. 2015, that went up to 1.3, and then 2016, we were running with the full staff complement at the expense of 2.1 million rand. Advertising, Chairperson, there you'll see that was also mainly then linked to advertising for the youngsters to apply. It's also then some branding that we had to put onto the site and so forth. Catering, you'll see in the last year, the second and the last year, the catering expenses spiked significantly, and that was because of the cost for preparing meals for the students. Of course, the first year we only had a small intake, but in the second and the third year, you'll see that there was significant expenditure. Computer services, also there, Chairperson. And I need to mention, of course, my computer equipment, and so as you know, they've got a lifespan of about 3 years. This project ran about over 3 years, and those were all recorded and dealt with as assets. Supplies, fleet services, the contractors, Chairperson, there you'll see on the first year that was for preparing the site. Most of the money there, about 2 million, was spent on the cleaning of the site and removing some of the snakes and so that was on the site. Chairperson, the second slide, number six. Clothing and accessories, and that was mainly the uniforms that was used and the deployment. Remember, Chair, this program was a modular one, so the students came in, they received 3 weeks training, they were then placed back in the communities while being paid an IATWP stipend, and they were wearing then the uniform that we procured for them. The second item there that you'll see, operating payment, that's then the EPWP stipends paid to students. First year was 23,800, we started, it went then up to 500,000, and in the third year we were spending just over 2 million rand on the payment of the stipends to the students. Minor assets, Chairperson, those figures are self-explanatory. Property payment was mainly for the security services. And in the last year, you'll also see it went up quite significantly, but that was when the site was fully operational, and we had to deploy some extra security when we took the group from Alien Park in Easter onto the site. Travel and subsistence, Chairperson, first year were high because we had not yet sorted out the housing units and so forth, so people were traveling up and down, but then in the later years, you'll see it's renting, rental and hiring, and training and development, that last amount was for the training of accredited peace officer training. About 160 youngsters were trained as official peace officers and deployed in the communities back. Slide number 7, we continue with the categories. Household, other transfers, 1.1 million, 1.4 million. And those were transfers made to the Chrysalis Academy, because the Chrysalis Academy provided both a mentorship and that also assisted with their instructors to provide phase one or module one of the training. Other machinery and equipment, those were then machinery like washing machines, stoves and so that had to be procured. Transport equipment, year one, a high spike check, because that's when we had to procure the bus and 4x4 vehicles and so for the site. That, of course, is like with all other government vehicles, transferred to the government garage, and we continue, they continue to use that. The total expenditure for the 3 years, Chair, 14, 15, 12.1 million, 15, 16, 10.1, and 17, 18, 13.4. So of the total 4.8 million donor funding that we received, we spent a total of 35.730 million, if you can look at your graph, Chair, with a underspent over the 3 years of 5 million, and the detail of that is then articulated per financial year on the graphs as indicated. Dear President, when we then go to, let's say, the value for money and some of the risks which motivated us then to discontinue the program, during the 15-16 financial year, internal audit was requested to conduct an internal audit on the Volvo Group based on the following risks that were identified, namely that Volvo Group Academy may not be fully ready for student intake due to the unsuitable infrastructure and the lack of appropriate operational payments. The detailed audit report recommended management to implement action plans to mitigate the following risks: forward to infrastructure, occupational health and safety, telecommunication infrastructure, monitoring and reporting, and then also the strengthening of the memorandums of understanding. There, Chairperson, the second slide is slide number 9, is a breakdown of where the youngsters were recruited from and where they were then placed in the work opportunity for 12 months. A total of 198 participated in the training, the skills phase inclusive of first aid, basic fire training, disaster management, emergency evacuation, handling of hazardous materials. All of that is, of course, as I said, linked to the Chrysalis Academy, which has, as I said, also has now been fully accredited. We also did 166 youngsters receive training as peace officers, and during the time working for fire volunteers and other fire preventing personnel also received training on the site of Volvo Group. We unfortunately don't have the exact figures because that was dealt with by the Department of Local Government, Chair. I am, however, confident to say that it was more than 300 people that received training during that period of time. The following challenges, Chairperson, and I think then what we just need to really highlight, the rest of it I'm sure you know about, the non-existence of IT networks and infrastructure. There's no cell phone reception on the site, Chairperson, and to put in a booster did not help. We're talking about a signal tower which would have cost a few million, which we could simply not afford. The flooding that we experienced, the extreme weather conditions, some of the equipment that we had to install in the first year was then the cooling and the heating equipment for all the living quarters and so forth. Inadequate electricity installation, the limited water supply. There was also during one of the last repairs made, Chairperson, we then had to use mobile ignition units because of the resource that they found in some of the water circulation systems. But Chairperson, not despite all of those, I think the main reason why we discontinued the program is the fact that the donor funding came to an end. The 40 million came to an end. We did apply again to national. Unfortunately, in that year, there was no funds available. We have subsequently again applied to national, and it's just a matter of unaffordability. Due to the serious challenges in relation to the sustainability of occupancy and the budget required to address all infrastructure and other challenges, the department was then unable to render their future programs at the Volvo Group site. Exit strategy, Chairperson, on the 11th of November, the department requested National Treasury to lift the facility limitations on the GBS funding. That also allowed us then to fund the Perseus accreditation process. On the 11th of March, National approved this request. On the 20th of March, the department informed the Department of Public Works of its intentions to exit the Walter Cruz site. An agreement that has been reached with Perseus Academy during the 17-18 financial year to increase its annual intake by 100, which shall be recruited from rural areas. And Chairperson, I do have a copy of the signed transfer payment agreement between us and the Perseus Academy, and I can just paragraph 2.2 is very clear that a minimum of 45% of students must be recruited from rural areas, and the remaining students must be recruited from areas at the discretion of the beneficiary. So we gave the counselors a target of 45% rural, 45% urban, and 10% discretion of counselors themselves. So that calculates to roughly a chairperson, if we take a counselor's capacity at about 620, 45% of that then translates to almost 300 students from the rural community will benefit. Chairperson, I think then, as I've said, the assets with a total value of 1.3 million and consumables to the value of almost 600,000 rand is in the process of being transferred from Overproof to the Chrysalis Academy to be used during the training. The training course at Chrysalis is now fully accredited until 2020, which was achieved through the partnership and funding at Overproof. And then lastly, Chairperson, the Overproof site was officially handed back to the Department of Public Works on the 1st of April 2018. We had a year exit strategy to make sure that, all of it happens without any findings or any irregularities on the main program. Chair, I thank you very much.
Thank you, HB. Members' questions? Member Chatham first, and then Member Bimolo Yanga. Okay, Member Chatham first.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think I have a number of questions, if you don't mind. I'll just go through them, Chair. Firstly, on page 5, you mentioned the, in terms of the staff that you settled there, the amounts that increased 2015. I just want to check, is the staff that was there, is it new or old staff? And what changed in terms of their description, job description, which necessitated maybe this increase? And then, Chairperson, I also just want to understand the handover or the change to the I hear about the exit strategy that you were talking about, but I just want to understand in terms of the how the students that were there. You have explained the strategy of the department, but I want to understand in terms of the students, what happens to them? Where are they? Where are they, let's say, practicing some of what they have learned? I'm asking, Chair, on the basis of particularly of what you are raising in terms of the students that were recruited in Avian Park. Because among other things, Chair, in Avian Park of the students, and I think you can attest to that some of them actually left the academy before they finished particularly in relation to King Solomon and that was taking place there, and having some of them being threatened in terms of their, if they continue to be there. So I just want to understand what happened to the youth, basically. Are we able to say beyond the training, we've been able to make, to monitor, to mentor those that were saved within that period? And then, Chair, I understand what the internal audit says about the about many other things, the structure. But in relation to the telecommunication, what are they explaining in particular? Because if they're only explaining the issue of the tower and the cell phone network not working, my recollection is the basis of what was closed in the past was that people, particularly the youth, won't have natural, won't be able to use phones, you know, won't be able to get radios. The basis of them there is to be able to use their, you know, creativity to do good. So I just want to understand exactly in terms of the internal audit, the issue as in terms of the telecommunication infrastructure. Is it for students? Is it for who exactly? Why cannot something that cannot? And the last question, Chen. In terms of the infrastructure that is there, I think we did ask this question last time. In terms of the infrastructure, we know that we have invested some of the money, but we know some of the challenges that we are in. So what, as we are saying, is going back to public works. Have you now, from them, just to check, what is their plan in terms of the in terms of world of growth. Because it will be a teacher that will spend money today and the program stops after some time will probably have to spend money in another infrastructure to do maybe a similar same thing. So just want to understand what is the communication in terms of what is going to happen going forward in that for the last, sorry, the last thing, Chair, was that in the process of that 3 years, what has been the view for the immediate community there in Bogotá, knowing how that community is, how has the work of Bogotá try to carry a replica and probably change the lives of people on that area. Thanks.
I think I'm just going to give the department opportunity to reply to this, and then I'm going to ask the other person to be able to go that next. Over to you, Steve.
Thank you, Chair. That's from Dr. Rebecca Egia. I don't know if there's some difficult questions in there. I think the staff spent on COP, this was new staff, and that's why we had to wait for it. Remember, the department do not have trainers in our staff. The Chrysalis Academy run separately with their own staff, and in this case, we then had to go through a work study exercise to determine the levels and the salary and the job descriptions. We were also then advised, Chairperson, that we need to make all the appointments on a contract basis because we made the appointments from the local community, which is the Booster area, and all of those people then at the end of the border group decided to terminate their contracts. One of the trainers came to Cape Town for a year, but she has also now terminated contact and gone back to the community. So Chairperson, yes, it was all new staff, contractual appointments for a period of 3 years. I just maybe need to mention there was a total of 5 full-time staff dedicated to the site there. Students, what happened to them? I think especially with the Avian Park, honourable members are absolutely correct in that that was a very difficult group because Chairperson, different from Chrysalis, we don't have any social workers or psychologists at Volokua. There was just administrative staff, so they were unable to deal with the behavioral difficult youngsters, if I can use that terminology. But we had a partnership with social development. We had a social worker on site for about 2 weeks, if I remember correctly, during which time we did a detailed assessment of each of the youngsters to see what are their social circumstances, whether they drug addiction or so on. And they were then placed according to that either at rehab centers, or some of them then went over to Chrysalis Academy to continue with their training, and then the rest of them decided to go back into the community. The other students, the 198 that we listed the chairperson, those students were recruited from the community, and we're not talking only in local communities. If I can respectfully refer you to slide number 9, there were 23 from Drakenstein, 15 from Zimbabwe, 21 from Beaufort Press, Asakwa, and so forth. So we recruited them from there, and after their training, they went into a year training program with the municipality, whilst we were paying their stipends. Some of them, Chairperson, of course, under the Chrysalis program. We do track all the students for a period of 5 years after they complete their training. The first year we pay for their work placement as part of our National Youth Work Program, EPWP, but after that year then they need to be taken up into permanent employment. We do our best to facilitate that search, and we are able to maintain about a 70% rate of employment, and that is then monitored by the Chrysalis Academy. In terms of internal audit, the telecommunication, what did they explain? I think their chairperson, especially the risk of communication in the case of an emergency. So it wasn't necessary for the students to be able to make calls. But if there was, for instance, an injury or snake bite, which is a very real threat in the Volokua, then that was one of their findings in terms of occupational health and safety, is that the lack of adequate coverage from telecommunication, because even the landline, because of the fires and so, were not very reliable. So, but I just want to say that was one of many of the findings of internal audit that spoke about the lack of the current infrastructure that existed. The infrastructure given back to the Department of Public Works, Chairperson, of course, we don't have much influence about what happens. Of course, it was handed over as a going concern, meaning that all the immovable assets were left on the site, like the kitchen equipment and some of the washing equipment. That now is part of the portfolio of the property value. I can say, although I cannot confirm, Chairperson, but I know that there has been a written interest from Cape Nature, maybe to take the site again as a nature reserve for which it was initially developed. But I would respectfully suggest, Chair, that the Public Works should provide us with that detail once they have concluded their negotiations or decided on it. Value for immediate community, Chairperson, there. Again, I think that firstly, if we can remember, Chairperson, this was an application from the department to national. So the immediate benefit is that 40 million rand, 35 million at the end of the day, of that money was spent in the Western Cape, which would not have been spent had we not taken the initiative. And then also, for instance, the procurement, the recruitment of the students. We did the local municipality. But I think that's how far we can in terms of the immediate value to the community. Okay, I think I've dealt with all the questions that were asked. Thank you.
I will give you an opportunity. I just think that has also mentioned that there were people, students that left before the training, before they completed the training, and then I think there was a problem. They were forced to leave because of threats. You mentioned that, Mr. Chair.
But please, let's separate the students that underwent their training, the 198 that we reflect here, and then the emergency intervention that we made for Asian Park when we took those youngsters. There were some of them, you understand, not that young, they didn't meet, they were, you understand, old families that were relocated because of the gang violence in Asian Park. Now, those were not part of the border group, although we accommodated them, but they were not part of the students that underwent the training. And for that, we then had social development with the police. Some of them were even on the wanted list of the police. So it was a very abnormal situation that we had to deal with, Chair. But those that left the program on the site, some of them reportedly, I wasn't personally there, but the security did report to us that some of the known gang members actually came to collect their members back from Walmart and took them to the community. But remember, this is a voluntary program. We don't have a warrant to force somebody to be there, even at our chrysalis. If any of the students wish to stand up and walk away, they can do so. But I can say, Chairperson, with a lot of confidence, that both the Borbergruf Training Academy, the work the 198 students, as well as the Curtulus program, more than 95% of the students that start will complete the program. It's last, for instance, the last Curtulus group, there was only 5 out of 200 students that didn't complete the training. And that's mostly because of medical conditions, often associated with what is commonly called hard drugs. Those are the heroin addictions and so forth, which we are simply not equipped to deal with adequately.
That's all.
In running off this, they have talks in terms of the heroin talks. Chair, one is interested if later we can define if we are saying this is the number. Or these are the privileges that they are saying. So that we can be, because they're interacting with some of the community members, one needs to have this particular information. Because the issue of how both look happened there, I can tell you now, if you go there now, it's still an issue that is being used. You know, either by police or by the community, who saying that some of the potential were not there, but were not taken. Some are saying, some who went there, they actually were hiding either for others or for many other things. So one would want to get that full picture. It was not, it was not a bad thing for you to accept as an intervention. But one would want to say, how do we constantly, it might not be having heart tumor, it might be another area. What mechanism do we have in place to intervene in such conditions or situations as they
okay, I think we can just formulate that and let us ask. I think we must, like Mr. Kennedy said, to distinguish between the students and the others, but we can formalize that and then ask for that in writing. Any members, that's fine? Thank you. Member Bimaka, over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson. You're right, you said that you know, these things happen a long while ago. Difficult to remember all in the faith role in the lives of the purposes you want to use it for, and then the MOU is signed on the 31st of July. But in that same sentence, you say, after various site visits and in partnership concluded with the Department of Local Government, you make the decision for World Food. Based on that, you need finance. So you apply to national. National gives you 40 million. You use 35 million. And now, on the question that was asked, and then in the next paragraph you mentioned, the lenders cover that water pipes are contaminated, there aren't pollution facilities, and so subsequently we have to spend almost 348,000 to hire a pollution facility, not put them up permanently, to hire them, which means we don't have them anymore. That's money down the drain. Now my question today is, and based on the response that you said, to spend money in the community, and some of that money, you know, did offer the community an opportunity to spend there. My take on this, if I was national, I would say wasted the money. Because to get 40 million from national as an initiative, because they believe that this has to be looked after, and today we have absolutely nothing to show for the vocals, it's not being used for the purpose that it was supposed to be used. We discover all of these problems now, like, wow, where this falls back from the chair is when you say, after various factors and in partnership with local government, which means you went there, up and down, up and down, up and down, and then you decide with local government, we need this person, the plan for national, and then after that you discover, no, but this is wrong, that's wrong, the other thing is wrong. Why did you not discover this on those visits when you went? Because that justified your application for the 40 million. Then after that, when this came to us as annual report, we asked, why then, after all of this, having done all that there, do you think everything in the country Christmas up here in Convention Line of Everything, instead of staying in the rural area to enhance some rural area wherever, and a rural community, and closer for youth to come there? Now, I've not got that answer yet. I haven't yet got that response to why not the decision to support Christmas in all of this, because all the money is now going to Christmas, and no rural community is benefiting by this. I then want to go to page 6. You speak about 100 and you say training and development, the money that you spent there, you will train 160 peace officers. Where are they now? Who are they? If we can get the name, I don't expect to see 160 names, I'd like to know who those people are and where are they active. Then on the very next page 9, you break down the areas that you train. Students were trained over the 3-year period, and you mentioned, of course, my area is further than, there are 12 of them. I'd like to know if they're still active, and if they are, what are they doing? Who are they? Which areas are they active in? Because I'd like to go and check on them and see whether they're doing anything, whether they're earning anything, are they still getting a stipend, are they at home, have they progressed from where they were when they were trained here. If I turn this page now, maybe your areas don't, your boundaries are not the same as our regional boundaries when we talk about regions. Does, what do you say, faculty, burglar, municipality, and Saldana, does that still form part of Overbrook? So that's why I'm asking, I'm reading what's written on the report. So I'm asking that your boundaries are the same as I'm or not, or is that a mistake on your part? Then on page 11, you say the reason why this whole business stopped was because GPS funding came to an end at 31st of March 2017. What stopped you from reapplying? That funding ended, but did they say that if this was a once-off, you were not allowed to apply again? And did it also say no applications for funding were considered for 1718? But in your verbal response to us now, you said that you did apply to, I can't remember who you were said you applied to the writing. So that to me was a contradictory statement. On page 12, An agreement has been reached with Christmas Academy during 2018 to increase its intake by 100 youth from the rural areas. Again, that comes back to my question. Why do these rural youth have to come all the way to Christmas? What stopped you from reapplying, explaining to national or wherever you had to apply for funding that you want to continue developing the rural area as opposed to running to Christmas Academy? Were you saving money by using the trainers of chrysalis or the consultants doing the work that was being done there? A little bit of what I'm now saying is going back, when I know that the main reason why I wanted this was to understand why have you spent all that money, having done it, gone through all of this process, you now come to this facility and you move completely out of the rural area when the initial thought was to develop a rural area.
And then you say,
on the 1st of April, you handed over a bowl of I think while I was writing this question, you said that Convention is now looking at it. To use that facility differently, to use it as, well, I'll ask for a Convention of that engagement, if that's what you think.
Thank you. Well, wait, so if you can remember, Joshua, I don't know if you actually need to reply to that, and I'll give over to you. Actually, I took the letter to Member Bibelco. You said there's a 5-year, the first year you fail, and then you try to assist to have the individual employed, and you have a 5-year, monitoring to see what the person is doing, and you said there's a 70% success rate for them being employed elsewhere. So I'm going to ask the organizers to request that we can have a breakdown of that. Of that. So it will help us, the different areas and where they are at now, so that we, maybe be able to one could check the areas from them that we have that. But I'll hand it over to you, HOD, and maybe from the others to respond to Member Bielka. Member Bielka?
What is the question that is saying?
Chairperson, let's try and answer the questions, given the time as well. I think the first comment made on so much work we've done into the establishment of the facility and the expectation from national, and so I can understand why the member is making the comments. I think as in mitigating of that, I want to just state that this was an initiative taken by the department. We saw the opportunity, we tried, but we applied for national funding, and the national funding was given to us over the multi-term expenditure framework, 3 years, for a particular purpose. It was not one of the expectations from national that we continue the program indefinitely. The business plan was very clear for a period of 3 years, and it was always the understanding that we will then apply as we do afterwards. When the border curve, and CFO, please help me now with the detail, National Treasury will invite departments to apply for GBS funding. It's not something that we can do on ourselves. They only open it and you can apply and then you cannot apply. Last year, we couldn't apply, but this year they again said we can apply, so we have submitted again. I can also mention, Chair, that National did appoint independent impact assessors. They came to see us, they met with us, we never saw the report, but we received no negative feedback from National as to that they were not happy with the way that we spent this money. And of course, it was also subjected to audits during the course of the period. The ablution facilities, Chairperson, it's not as when we went there, of course the ablution facilities was there and we visited and we established the infrastructure, but I think one of the realities of a site like Wolverfield is there are many things that become visible only after you start using the facility. Remember, This is a facility that was dormant most of the time for about 6-7 years before we took it over. So the water reticulation system, it's there, but it's simply not able to cope with the number of people that we put in the site. Remember, there are the housing units that's got basically 2 rooms, and I think in the normal sense you will have 8 families staying in the housing facility during a holiday. That's what it was constructed for. But in this case, we actually had four students that slept and stayed in it all the time, and that's when the water reticulation system then started being unreliable. They don't have municipal connection with the sewage, so we had to pump the stuff and all of that. And that's when, at which time, we hired and used the mission facilities. Remember, they didn't stand there unused. It wasn't wasted. It was used during that period of time. All the money to Chrysalis to benefit, of course, Chrysalis, none of this money remains, because the money is now, we're not getting national money, so there's no new money going to Chrysalis now. Chrysalis is an existing infrastructure. Yes, it is definitely much cheaper to run it through Chrysalis than to set up another site, but there's opportunity cost in that, of course, in that we lose the benefit of the rural spend, so to speak. But on a cost-benefit analysis, it is obviously much cheaper to run the program within the existing infrastructure and staff that exists at the Chrysalis Academy. Who are they and where are they now? The students, chairperson again, the recruitment was done based on adverts called for. Some of the students were then taken up by the municipalities. We don't have that detail, chairperson. Our responsibility stopped after the year workplace. And unfortunately, we can't continue, and we don't want to create a permanent dependency on EPWP stipends. What we are able to say, chairperson, and I just want to make sure we understand that correctly, is that through the Chrysalis program, we do monitor the students for a period of 5 years. And since we have implemented the EPWP work program in 2012, we have monitored how many of those students went on to get permanent employment. And those that we know of is in excess of 70%. It does not necessarily speak to the Chrysalis, the students at Solomon or anything else. It is an overall number. What we've also seen, chairperson, and this is something that a committee like this, I think it's important to take note of, is that the ability to take the student up in a permanent employment is highly dependent on where you place the student. If we place the student, for instance, with the municipality, the take-up level is very low compared to placing the student with the city improvement district or a special rating area where there is opportunities to take them on. So it is again a difficult decision that we need to make, that you want the student, of course, to go back and work for safety in the community from where they come. But on the other side, you want to give the student the best opportunity or possibility of permanent employment. And there are some of the placement institutions that perform much better than the rest in terms of. Lanesworth Municipality, for instance, chairperson, I recall it correctly, because we negotiated with them that we'll pay the stipend for a year, but then they had to pay the stipend for the year afterwards. And that's what we tried to negotiate with all the municipalities. I must actually say that even if we, as we sit here today, chairperson, the EPWP budgets that's available to municipalities is, of course, much more than we have. And if you look at it, there's very few of those budgets that are being used for youth, especially youth in safety. So we tried this program also to unlock some of that opportunities by, as an incentive, saying to the municipality, we'll take the students, we'll train them, we'll deploy them back with you, but you need to guarantee you'll take them on. But that's not something that we have control over that chairperson. The boundaries, yes, Jefferson, obviously it's a mistake in this fight, for which I apologize, Obama is of course not part of that district, but I can understand that we focus on the area, the placement institution, and the municipal partners from where they were recruited. That information I can vouch for. Slide 7, K20 GBS funding. Jefferson, I think I've fired off the top of the list to answer that. The National Treasury invites departments, especially provincial departments, to apply. And I must honestly say, 90% of the time when we apply, we're not successful. So it's not a guaranteed allocation that you get from them. Jefferson, I think the last one that remains unanswered is stipend pay. That is a stipend determined by the National Minister of Labour, and it was at the time 88 rand per day. You understand? That was the stipend determined by the National Minister under the EPWP determination. Thank you, Chair.
And with the removal of our 66 peace officers, where are they now?
Jefferson, we'll have to get that detail and send it back to you. I don't have it with me now, but they were also, of course, I can guarantee you that they were also then recruited from the same areas as the rest, because that was a catchment area for the border group focus. Just an last very much great question again, Jefferson. I know that the Christmas program is not now run in a rural community, but as I said, we have set a recruitment target that 45% must be recruited from the ranks of rural communities, and then be deployed back also, as with the water through a year workplace.
Initial concern, and still we're not getting, or rather I'm not getting, suitable responses as to why, do you identify that as apartheid and did National investigate or were they aware of these problems before they ever looked at that kind of thing? So I'll just leave those up there.
And if you had received money at Liverpool National funding, if you had extra funding, would you have continued with the program if you had funding? Would you have stopped it and lessons learned and do it, spend the money otherwise, or would you continue with the program? And then I'll go over to Member Joseph. Same thing now, okay?
Because Chair, I said earlier on, what would go in the past, and I think in the current, it was never sort of a resort where you have, you know, the infrastructure, everything in place, water, good water, to the population, ablution, growth, and so forth. It was never like that, even before, when it was used. So my question also, in agreeing that you want to use both clothes, if you take into consideration those issues, because there was no way that the ICU would change now has a big or a big operation for both clothes, noting how the area is. You know? Because both clothes is similar to an area where you build it. I think in some kind of the group where it, they even use solar, they do not have this complicated admission block, but it's a nice area. But how they use their system, they do not rely mostly on the water from Sardana in Spanish. They don't rely on, let's say, everything there. So, when you think of overflow, you want to look creatively along those lines, you know, so that you don't say, I'm moving out, or I'm not using because of a machine or electricity or so forth.
When we took over the overflow facility, there was definitely a big admission mark. It's still there. That's on the side of the tented area. That's of course the side that was extensively damaged by the fire. And of course there was then the relatively well or new housing units, the six units right at the top. Each of them of course have a toilet and a shower and so on. So those were the existing admission block. At the tented side, or that's the permanent tents, if I can use that, that's on the wooden platforms and so on. Those could accommodate probably, if I remember correctly, a 10 on a site for females and males. So definitely that existed at the time and it still exists. I don't know if the committee would have time for a site visit, but it's definitely still the chairperson. I think in terms of the national priorities, maybe just a technical correction, Chairperson, because I remember we worked very closely with the preparation, and from the five national priorities at the time, yes ma'am, the rural development was definitely one, but this one was approved under youth work opportunities. You understand? And that's why we got the money, because we were then able to link it to our existing youth work program, and we had already the model of the chrysalis that worked there. So, and I of course respectfully understand what the member is saying, but Chair, the money was spent for the purpose it was received. We trained the youth. Of course, we didn't leave legacy in the infrastructure, but we never got the money in any case to significantly change the infrastructure from, you understand, from what it was to something that we can walk away and now say, there's this wonderful infrastructure there. Thank you, Chair.
Joseph, and you may ask all the questions because I don't want to be fair with the department, give them a lot of questions, and that's why we draw Joseph off, so you can ask all the questions.
Thank you, Chair, and I think I'm comfortable with some of the questions.
I just wanted to ask on the response of the follow up on the response of the 45% for rural, as I picked it up, and I'm interested in the Lubric, and maybe something like this in the new applications as well, which is in the 20s or in the current. But it fell, if it is, it fell way below percentage, if the initial target was an application was to enhance rural development, then that percentage should be 20, even if the critic, in terms of the principle, the objective of promoting rural opportunities. So I share the concerns of Member Bielenka, but I think we'd like to thank the department for taking the initiative to create opportunities for the youth. I think up front I want to say thank you for participating in the program and that you motivated, particularly for rural support. I also want to thank the department for being able to reorganize the staff to ensure that capacity that you need, you know, of course it's not extra home. Not sure, but it is not extra staff that comes in to do the work, but we look from the current staff to accommodate that program. Otherwise, there's no new appointees to do. Just want to check on that. If not, then I will send the department at least for continuing the program, even with the same staff for creating the skills for the young people and the opportunities there. But I want to just confirm again the previous discussion on the new applications. Is that going to, as the chairman also asked, is there a long-term plan? And I also heard you saying that it's not a permanent every year, and therefore you can have a medium long-term plan when the opportunity comes. But when the opportunity comes, I would like to know if the current, if you take the funding up at 40 million and what other new funding, is the department able to continue with the Christmas Academy? You know, just want to know the program. And including percentage-wise of rural people as well, in the current situation, if there's not external funding coming, are you able to continue? Or is it only viable with funding from outside? Is that the purpose of that project? And then, of course, with that is that, well, then the objective of the new application also is normally focused on rural. And is there an opportunity for the department to do a long-term rural presence, I think like the other members, maybe in George or some of the regions, so that we do justice to the concept of rural opportunities. But thank you very much for, and I think coming back to the initial start off, I'm sure there was a motivation, it was accepted by Treasury and the National Department for the funding, and there was almost like a deviation because of what happened with overflow and experience, and that's why it shifted. I still think it would be more or less temporary, that's why it shifted to Christmas, or you must tell us it's a permanent move that you're only going to have there because you think it's cheaper and it's got all the facilities and it's capable of whatever you need to eat. That you shifted it here, or is there a plan for long term that you still want to go back to the rural, to find the rural facility somewhere in the regions? Thank you.
Just if you receive extra funding, like I asked last time, would you continue the program or not? Okay, that is a good
idea. I sorry to clarify my question was if they don't receive funding, will the department be able to continue with the program even in the crisis and include invite rural people as well?
Chairperson, thank you. The 45% rural recruitment target that we have now written into the transfer payment agreement of Chrysalis is then, of course, reviewed on a year-to-year basis, and we sign the transfer agreement on a year-to-year basis. I can also mention to the committee that before Bolgrove, we did not specify recruitment targets to Chrysalis. Now we specify to them to make sure that there is focus on the rural, which is then basically 50% of capacity. 45% prescribed, and Chrysalis, in terms of the transfer agreement, chairperson, must submit to us regular reports, and we measure compliance against those targets. If you go further, chairperson, even in terms of the 45% urban, we have specified some of the communities that are then linked to either the crime stats or then the, for instance, the Khayelitsha Commission, we have specified the number that must be recruited from that community. Maybe, Chair, we can make a copy of the transfer payment agreement to the committee, and you can go through those recruitment targets if you need to consult with us on those. I think, Chairperson, of course, the sustainability of Chrysalis is now running for 12 years. It is part of our equitable share, and it is definitely in our multi-term expenditure framework. So there is no reason to believe that we are unable to maintain Chrysalis. I also need to just again emphasize that, remember that 40 million is no longer. So for this year, again, we're not getting any extra money, but we are continuing with the Chrysalis Academy. And Chairperson, I think it's also important to recognize then the efforts of the nuclear authority, because for the first year under community safety, they have been able to increase their revenue by 12.5 million. And part of our suggestion again to our provincial treasury is that that revenue retention must be plugged back into youth programs and into safety programs. And that is the issue.
Funding.
and for allocations, and we can really look at how do we then take the modular program. Now the big difference, modular and otherwise, Chairperson, the residential is more focused on your behavioral difficult kids, where you need a social worker and psychologist. That you can never do, you understand, I think you need to look at the infrastructure. But the other one is that you still, and that was a overflow focus, we still go to the poor communities, we still look at the child that came from a single parent, but the one that matriculated, the one that was the previous, and those are the ones that then benefited through this program, and those are the ones that we hope that will continue to benefit through the modular program.
So,
we've
got a follow-up to that,
Mr. Joseph?
In one of the municipalities that are saying he is not other funding that we have been looking at in terms of this work, particularly for a similar infrastructure chain of workers.
I have this thought. I forgot what I wanted to ask. It should be. You get one side of the door, kind of thing. You get one side. Oh, no, this is what I wanted to ask. This comment, you said it's a model problem, so and it's infrastructure, meaning that it can make the same stuff. Is that what you're saying? Because people will not pay in order to come. So maybe you'll get something from the people that are paying in those programs. So is that what you're saying? It can make the same stuff? Or what are you saying if you say it's a model program, to say you pay now to enter the program? And is that what you're saying?
Chairperson, let me I think the first question, why not more students from rural? We are guided there, Chairperson, also by the population distribution. As we know, estimated according to Stats SA is that as much as 65 to 68% of our communities are now in the metro areas in the cities. So therefore the 45% is in line with that estimation. All our other programs, we also then use the population side, because if you, for instance, do funding for Khayelitsha versus another area, you need to look at the population size, and that's how we then proportionate, divide the resources on that. The question of the other funding, and I'm careful that the CEO might kick me now, Chairperson, but what we're saying, and firstly, again, the you asked whether we will take this initiative again. I think there's one of my colleagues that jokingly said that no good deed goes unpunished, and that's how we feel to some extent. You know, this was an initiative. We took it, we didn't do it perfect, but it was always well intended. Whether we'll do it again, I think it goes on to the opportunities. We have already submitted an application to National. We'll wait and see. But I think on the other funding, the two issues that I want to raise, and I do so carefully, Chairperson, the accreditation of Chrysalis Academy means that all departments or all municipalities that are participating on the EPWP or the job creation, remember National states a requirement that X percent of that money must be spent, but it must be spent on accredited programs. So Chrysalis would never have competed for that market. Now we can say to the municipality, send your kids here, you can offset that against your compulsory spend of 20% of your EPWP budget. So instead of going to a private contractor, they can now send the kids to it and we can compete for that market. So that's what we're starting to look. Members that know Chrysalis obviously well would know that the Sterilitsha hostel is then used for the shorter program, and we're trying to see, can't we turn that into a cost center that will then be self-sustainable, able to generate funds, able to take those students from the rural against the compulsory spend that would not then come through our books. And then the other issue, Chairperson, and I just need to, in terms of the clarity of the liquor license, we fully agree. We have no programs aimed at enhancing the sale of liquor or the benefit of the liquor. But what we're also saying, Chairperson, that if we look at the contribution of the industry to the GDP of the Western Cape, then there's no way that we can run the liquor authority at a loss. You understand? We need to make sure that we can then, and also when we look at the cost of the harms that are being caused by the industry, we need to start looking at how do we then start creating cost models that would make sure that money is going back. One of the examples, Chairperson, is again, if we proportionate, look at the number of licenses in a particular municipal area, and we start looking at the percentage of that money should go back to that municipality under the condition that it's then spent on safety and or youth programs. Thank you, Chair, but those are all in the development stage.
Member Dozer?
to the speakers and the mayors of that municipality. They're also looking for opportunities to invest in the youth, which they started now with the culture, educator kids, and the rural sports programs and so on. So I'm sure they would support this program as well.
Thank you, Emma. Does that exhaust all questions on that? Thank you, Anthony. Thank you, officials. We're going to take a 5 minute break before we start with the legal authority. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Coffee, the members. Thank you, Coffee, if you want some.